So this morning, we're going to read from Exodus 28, verses 1 through 6, and Haggai 1, the whole chapter. And the truth is that whenever I'm preparing a message, I pray and ask God to show me what I should preach about. And sometimes I feel called to preach about a certain topic or something, and sometimes I feel called to talk about a passage of Scripture. And that's kind of what happened this week. Exodus 28, verse 6 especially came to mind. And I didn't even know what it said. So I went and I looked it up. And as I read and thought about it, and then I read the whole chapter, and I thought about that, I was honestly thinking, I'm really not sure what I'm supposed to preach about or how I'm supposed to form this message. So I sat and I pondered it and I prayed over it some more, and God gave me Haggai 1. It came to mind, and it became clear to me that I needed to talk about the importance of variety and community as God's people. So I just wanted to give you that little bit before we read this morning. And as we read through and think about the first six verses of Exodus 28, I just want everyone to think about your own experience with church, or your past experiences with church or denomination, or if you don't usually go to church, or for those of you online, just think about your own personal walk with Christ, and then just we're going to kind of contrast that with how the church was viewed in the Old Testament times. And then as we read through Haggai, kind of think about your personal spiritual habits and practices as that we do as servants of God. So let's read from Exodus 28, 1 through 6. Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as a priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so they may serve me as priests. Have them use gold and purple and blue and scarlet yarn and fine linen. Make the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and of finely twisted linen, the work of skilled hands. And then let's go to Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says: These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai: Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says: Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says: Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it returned out to be a little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Zadok, and the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the message of the Lord to the people: I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Zadok, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of people, and they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. Let us pray. O Lord, most wonderful, awesome, and amazing God, Lord, we have heard and read your word, words of your prophets, words of your servants, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that these words may be bound to our hearts today. Lord, may you be with me as I present this message, and may this be your word, Lord. And may your spirit be evident in it. We pray these things in your most holy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. So let's first look at the passage from Exodus. And there are actually a few different directions we could go with this passage. But today I want to look critically at how we as Christians are called to participate in Christian community. If we look at the way of life that the Israelites lived, they literally followed God first, and everything else came second. They recognized that their main purpose in life was to live as children of God, to glorify Him in all that they did. When they lost sight of that, they failed miserably. And we see that in many times, in many examples in Scripture, when they did that, when they failed because they lost sight of who they were. Their way of doing church, although vastly different from ours, did still have the same basic leadership roles. The high priest would be like the lead pastor. And then the priests would fill other pastoral positions. However, one difference that I want to highlight is that everyone was expected to do their equal share based on the gifts they had been given, regardless of their social status. We can see this plainly in this passage of Scripture and throughout the several chapters in the middle of Exodus that give instructions on how to build the tabernacle and the temple, how to make the altars and the lampstands and the clothing and so on. This all required the work of skilled hands, skills that God had given people to use and enjoy, but also to bring honor to His name. There was a much higher expectation for participation in the church back then. When you were part of the church, you literally worked for God, using the skills that He had given you to do the work that He wanted done. This is pointed out in verses 3 and 6 of Exodus 28, where it speaks about the work of skilled hands and those whom God has given wisdom in such matters. Now, of course, you still had to feed your family and care for your livestock and tend to your crops and enjoy life as well. But you had to do all that while remaining aware that serving God was your main purpose in life. Church work was always at the top of the list, so to speak. Just kind of think about that a little bit. Take that into your personal lives. How do you view church? Now let's look at the verses from Haggai. Here we have a group of Israelites from the tribe of Judah. They've been through wars and slavery But now they're getting back on their feet. They're living a pretty good life. Maybe a little too good, in fact. They have begun to forget about God, and they're focused on their own personal gain. As I read this past week, I thought, wow, this sounds pretty similar to a lot of where we are at in the United States today. Right? With that in mind, I want to take a look at what churches become in so many places in Western culture. In general, Christianity in the U.S. has become somewhat unbalanced. For many Christians, their job, home, finances, or family is what consumes 99% of our time, our energy, and our thoughts. We work hard so that we can afford nice things. And then we try to find spare time to enjoy those things. For many people, not all, but many, church has become more of an afterthought. Just something that we should do as Christians on Sunday mornings. Just kind of almost a tradition. We just need to show up in church for an hour, and then the rest of the week we can go on chasing our dreams, looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And we end up living exactly like Haggai 1 verse 6 describes. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. There's no real fulfillment in living this way. Yet we have built a culture around this, especially in the United States, because we have it so good. And we don't even realize it. We have built a culture of leaving the ministry to the paid ministry professionals instead of being actively involved in sharing the gospel by using the gifts God has given us. I would like to point out that even though each and every one of us is responsible for our own faith walk, a lot of the reason for poor participation in many churches today has to do with the way that we handle church leadership. We hire or assign people to lead a ministry, and then one of two things nearly always happens. First thing, either we load them down with expectations and rely on them to do all of it because we don't want to. Or they assume that they're the only ones who can do it correctly. And so they don't let anyone else help. Both of these things lead to an unbalanced system. Puts too much emphasis on one person or a few people, when instead we're called to be a community, the body of Christ, each with our own unique gifts, working together to serve God. So for those of you who are in ministry leadership today in the church, be careful not to make the ministry about your own interests or goals. Invite others to join. Be open to their ideas, their thoughts. Use their gifts to create something beautiful and God-honoring. This is true of every single position in ministry, paid or not. Of course we need to have pastors. Just like the Israelites had priests to lead them and share messages from God with them. But we shouldn't get too comfortable with just attending church on Sunday morning and then living the rest of our life for personal gain. That's how the Israelites got caught up in it. I was personally convicted of this past week. Some of you may have noticed last Sunday, I was not very well prepared to lead worship. This was because I spent a large amount of my time last week focused on my own house, maintenance things, and trying to work a lot of hours at my job. And I neglected my sermon prep time and my personal devotion time with God. I did. And it showed up Sunday morning by me forgetting things and an all-around poor presentation of the Word of God. You see, what we do throughout the week not only affects our depth of worship on Sunday morning, it affects our personal relationship with God. Everything that we do. This is how we're called to live our lives as followers of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are from, God has given each and every one of us gifts, wonderful gifts, that we can use to spread His love and His word to others. This is not confined to church-related ministries. This happens in our daily lives as well. Wherever God has planted us, whether you're gifted in the area of child care, cooking, baking, cleaning, planning, organizing, teaching, carpentry, electrical, health care, computers and technology, being welcoming and sociable, or giving wisdom and spiritual guidance in so many other ways. Every gift we have can be used to help others grow in Christ or to lead others to Christ. We can show Christ-like love and honor God in every aspect of our lives. We should not go to church purely for the purpose of being filled, although that is definitely one purpose. But we should also go for the purpose of being able to pour back into others as well, and to bring our offering and gifts to God. So today, if you're someone who's maybe watching online at home, because you've been hurt by the church, or you'd rather not go to church for some reason, I encourage you to find a way to use the gifts God has given you, to glorify Him, to find a way to be part of the Christian community in some way. Or if you find yourself stuck in a position that you feel unwelcome or uncomfortable joining a ministry that you think can use your gifts, I encourage you to take that step, actively ask if you can help. If you know you have a certain area that you're gifted in, by all means, use your gift to help others, to honor God. Be active and involved. This will help draw you closer to God. And it'll make you have more fulfillment in your life. So go today and know that God has perfectly designed you exactly the way He wants you to be, with certain gifts and strengths that can be used to care for others and glorify His name. How we use the gifts we have been given is up to us. We just have to be careful not to be too selfish with them. I also want to quickly point out, this is a good place to mention that we have a congregational meeting coming up in a little over a week. And quite honestly, it's rarely well attended. I want to encourage everyone to go to that meeting. Ask questions, raise concerns if you have them. Be active and involved in the future of the church you attend and its ministry in the surrounding communities. It takes many people with different gifts in different places in their walk with Christ to build God's church in this world. Just take to heart what it says in Haggai 13 and 14. I'll just reread it again. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the people, message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Such Christian unity. They came together as one to build God's church. That's what we're called to do. That's why we're here. Amen? Share your faith. Share your gifts. Take time and invest in your church, in your community, in people's lives that you encounter in your job. Because as true Christians, we're called to honor God first. And we should desire to have our kids and grandkids grow up in the church, in a community that unifies around Christ and his kingdom. So think about that this week, today. Think about where you are in your walk with Christ. Think about which things you value. Think about how you can use the gifts that God has given you to bring unity to his church, how we can come together and glorify God's name. Amen. O Lord,